Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
So here we are. I know Pastor Joe already alluded to the fact. Can you believe it's January 14th? Christmas feels like a really long time ago, and New Year's, even to me, seems like a really long time ago, and there's been a lot that has happened in the last 2 weeks, but we're really only 2 weeks in to 2018. How many of you, be honest, made a New Year's resolution? How many of you made a New Year's resolution? I did. How many of you have broken a New Year's resolution already? I'm trying not to break my New Year's resolutions, but yeah, we're like coming out of the gate kind of floundering sometimes on these new... How many of you have given up New Year's resolutions long, long ago? That's good. That's good. Well, here's an even better question. Last week, Pastor Joe, and I do always listen to the podcast sermon when I'm done with the children, so I feel like I can just keep up. He asked last week, this was his challenge, what are you doing to put Christ front and center in your life? How are we doing on that challenge? You don't have to raise your hand. I know I was very moved and encouraged when I listened to Joe's sermon. He is my favorite preacher, so I always enjoy listening to his messages, and they always speak to me. But as I was listening to it this week, that phrase, the game changer, right? It stuck with you, didn't it? The game-changing work of God, that needs to be the focal point. That needs to be the focus of our 2018. Of all the resolutions that we could come up with, and I have, you know, a list of two or three on mine, but that really trumps them all. That is over and above and heading of, that's how we can really start out the year well. Well, I want to assure you, God really has some new and awesome things in mind for Maplewood this year. How do I know? Because I know what the word says about his character. And his character is he's always working on us, right? He's going to work on Maplewood. He's going to work on me. He's already working on me. He's going to work on you. No matter where you are in your faith journey, he wants to work on you. Do you believe that? Yes. I'm glad you do, because it's faithful to the message and the word that God has work to do on every one of us. A new thing in mind for every one of us this year, and collectively as a body of believers, he has something new ready for us. Now, most of the time, I am a really big fan of new things. I actually kind of like new things. I enjoy variety. I enjoy a little bit of spontaneity, not too much. And, you know, my new things, too, they need to be thought out, planned. And I'm just kind of a planner, but I do enjoy thinking about something new. I have a real love of, I know this seems really odd, but of brand new, fresh, unwritten, and clean notebooks. I love it when they put the school supplies out because all the beautiful notebooks. You know, if I want to start out a new year, I need a new notebook. Joe got me a pair of sheets for Christmas this year. They were beautiful, except they weren't quite the right size. So I returned them. And the ones I got instead were a little bit cheaper, and I had just enough extra to buy a new notebook. I was so excited. A brand new notebook. And it's very beautiful and pretty and clean. And yes, I've started writing it because that's how I journal and log and keep track. I like new things. I'm usually a very big fan when somebody says, oh, let's try something new. I'm usually the one going, yeah, baby, let's do it. Let's try it. So when Joe and I have our occasional date night out, which happens a little more often now that our boys are bigger, sometimes we do the tried and true, you know, go to dinner, go to a movie, go to a bookstore. We're big on that. We've probably been to on a bookstore date at least 1,000 times. A lot of times. We don't usually buy anything either. We just go in and sit in the chairs and read the books while you're there because it's perfect. Then later, if you like it, you can go to the library and check it out. But truly, one of my absolute favorite things to do is to try something new that we've never done before. Now, we've been together for quite a few years, and you know, after a while, you start, that list gets a little shorter of things you've never done before. But several years ago, when Curtis, our oldest, went off to college, and we started to have just a little bit more time, we thought, you know what? I made this proposal to Joe. I said, let's have this purposeful date night together where we have to do something we've never done before. We have to do something new. And I said, and we'll take turns planning it. That doesn't always go so good, because I really like to plan and he doesn't like to so well, but that's okay. So I proposed that we try to do this and he's like, okay. And one of the rules was it had to include something new we've never done before, like a new restaurant. That's pretty easy to handle, right? There's a million restaurants. You can find a new restaurant that we've never tried before, or a new activity that we've never done before. And that was a little more adventurous and fun. Now, I don't know about Joe, but some of the ideas that we came up with, I really enjoyed, even though they were kind of goofy and silly and sometimes just plain weird. So we went frisbee golfing. How many of you frisbee golfed before? It's free. Joe has. You can find them in state parks. Marysville actually has a city park with a frisbee golf course. I was absolutely horrible. I mean, really bad. You're not supposed to like throw it into the weedy areas, but I was trouncing through the weeds and I was horrible. Joe was slightly better than horrible, maybe just terrible. But neither one of us were very good, but we enjoyed it. We went to a car show. I'd never been to a car show before. Just, you know, walk around and look at old cars. That was really fun. We got lost in a corn maze together. Now, we had gone to a corn maze with our boys, but yeah. This was a fun one. We took a picnic to a free outdoor theater and watched. Actually, we took DiGiorno pizza packed in foil to a free outdoor theater. And we went to this was really fun. We went to a hole-in-the-wall restaurant that didn't even have a sign. We were having trouble finding it. It has no sign. It was a dump, a total dump. Had more flies than it had seats. But it had some seriously good food and like a five-star chef. And you got a steak, I remember. It was just astounding and dumpiest place. And it's since closed. And now the guy has a food truck, which I'm sure is much cleaner. But it was great. It was totally worth it. We painted pottery once. Guess who picked that one? That was just kind of weird. And yeah, I picked that one. We ate at a German restaurant once that I had never eaten authentic German food before. I found that it's so spicy, I can hardly eat it. But the applesauce and the cream puffs are to absolutely die for. Sometimes the stuff we did was kind of odd and weird and clumsy. And I know some of the things I picked, I'm like, oh my goodness, I hope this isn't a total bomb. But even if they bombed, it was okay. Sometimes it was weird. Painting pottery was really strange. I was thinking it would be all so fun, but it was just kind of odd. But it was things we'd never done before. We laughed a lot. It really felt adventurous for us 40-something-year-olds, you know, be doing some crazy, silly new activities. And most of the time, really, it was very fun and enjoyable, even if it felt kind of odd or awkward or strange. I really enjoy new things most of the time. It's fun to try new things, although some of you might go, no, it's not. It is not. I think that's just how God has wired me somewhat. But every once in a while, I come across something that's new that I don't want to have anything to do with. For instance, this week, Joe and I have been discussing my personal laptop computer. It's a Toshiba. It is my friend. I've had this computer for a really long time, probably a decade, I don't know, which is really old for computers because they age out fast. And it's been a great computer. It's great for email. I can get all my documents saved on there. I can do some internet research, light internet research. It's served me well for a really long time. And what's even better is I know how to work this computer. I know how it works when I get on Joe's, because some of the things I need to do, I have to borrow his because mine doesn't do it. And I don't know what I'm doing. His is a Mac, and I just feel like I'm a foreigner. Yeah, I have no idea what I'm doing. Mine is a traditional Windows. But my computer, I know it, and the thought of learning the ropes on a new computer really does intimidate me. I am not an intuitive user of technology. I learn it. It takes me a little slower at it, but it intimidates me to learn new stuff. And all the while, Andrew's over here going, Mom, it's easy. And I always go, for you. For you, it's easy. But for me, it takes a little bit more work. So I've been rationalizing to myself, and yes, to my best friend, Pastor Joe, for a couple of years now, about why I don't need a new computer. And I'll say, this one's just fine. It does everything I need it to do. Except for when it doesn't do everything I need it to do. And when I want to do like some heavy lifting research, we have this great program that has just hundreds of biblical commentaries on it called Logos. It's fabulous. And when I want to do some heavy lifting theological research and use that program, well, my computer just won't do it. It freezes up on page one. It doesn't even get past page one. And it's just so obstinate. I mean, it won't even like say no. It just won't go. There are no danger screens. Just, I'm not going any further than this. This is it. See, the data in my computer, the programs, the drivers, they're really out of date. And I can't even upload new ones. I can't run recent programs. And though it still looks really good, it's shiny, I keep it clean, it powers up, it looks okay. In truth, it's pretty much obsolete. And there's only one reason why I have not replaced it long ago. It's because I did not want to expend the effort to learn something new. That is, and close your ears, Joe. He's been right all along. I really needed to update it. Okay, you can open it now. I just didn't want to expend the effort to learn something new, because sometimes something new is hard work. And it makes me uncomfortable. And it means I'm going to have to do something that I wasn't planning on. It might be bumping up against what I want, what I like, what I'm comfortable with. Amen? That's real. It's just the way it is. The truth is, I need to open my mind and my attitude to the possibility of a new computer. Because if I keep using the old one, I'm going to continually be more and more handicapped in what I'm able to complete in regards to my studies and in other necessary computer work that I would like to do so that I can continue to grow in my work and in my personal studies. I know it's probably going to be more work initially for me to learn a new computer, but the payout's going to be really good. It'll be good, and I'll look back at that old one and go, golly, I don't even know how I did without, you know, the ability to research this way. Sometimes new things are hard, and sometimes they're intimidating. Sometimes they're, yeah, baby, let's go. And sometimes they're like, wait a minute. Sometimes we just tell ourselves, we're just doing just fine with the old stuff. We're good with the old way. That works. It's not broke. Don't fix it. But sometimes we know full well that's not true. That's not true. Well, guess what? The prophet Isaiah has something important and thought-provoking to say about our response, his response, the people he was speaking to, and I believe all people before him and since them, about our response to new things. So I want to invite you to take your Bible and turn to Isaiah. So if you go to the center of the Bible, you're going to end up probably somewhere around the Psalms, Proverbs. And shortly after that, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, and then Isaiah. And we want to go to Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 16. And I know Joe, last week in his sermon, read verses 18 and 19. And we're going to start just a little before then today, just a little earlier. Isaiah chapter 43, starting at verse 16, and we're going to go through to 19. I'm reading from the NIV this morning. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The word of the Lord. So last week we zeroed in on that verse 18, 19, forget the former things. But this week when we start back at verse 16, do you recognize the story that Isaiah is referring to there? Because it's a story that happens much, much earlier in the Bible. In the book of Exodus, with Moses and God's people, you remember? They were slaves to Pharaoh and Egypt. All of God's people were enslaved. It was terrible, terrible circumstances for them. They were suffering. They cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord helped them to get away. And can you imagine being one of the people that experienced that deliverance that God provided for them? Not only, you know, they were caught in between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army, and Pharaoh's army could have done them in, and you know, God puts up that wall of fire, and then they just walk through the sea. That's pretty epic. It really is. And if you are not real familiar with that story, I encourage you, get into the book of Exodus. It's a fabulous story of how God is in the business of redeeming, saving, and working in that way with his people. It's a dramatic story, but yet in our passage today, he says, look at it again. Verse 16, this is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. But what is the next line? Forget the former things. Forget about it. What? That was amazing. That was astounding. That was epic. That was God delivering his people. What do you mean forget about it? But follow with me for just a second here. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Why on earth would Isaiah say that? The parting of the Red Sea and the miraculous rescue of God's people is a mountaintop pinnacle moment for God's people. Why is his next sentence, forget about it? Just think on that. Do you think maybe the people, when Isaiah was preaching, maybe they were resting in an unhealthy way on an old experience? You know, if you keep following through that story of Exodus, the people are delivered, they make their way into the wilderness, things get a little rocky, and what do? They forget about it. They lose their way. They forget who God is. Do you think maybe the people listening to Isaiah were living in an old experience? Maybe they were counting on an out-of-date commitment or an out-of-date decision to live a life for God that had long ago waned in its conviction. Isaiah is trying to tell him, hey, that Red Sea moment, it was awesome. But what about right now? What about right now? What is God doing right now? And do you have your eyes open? And do you have your ears open to perceive it? Are you stuck back on, well, God worked back here? Or are you stuck back in this commitment I made back here, but I really haven't kept it quite up to date? See, that's what Isaiah, I believe, is reminding us of. Those back there moments could have been awesome and great, and God was at work, but God's got more in store than just that. If you keep looking backwards, you're going to miss what's right in front of you and your part that God has for you of what's right in front of you right now. Amen. You see, I believe God is a fan of new things. In the very fabric of creation, we see it. And the way the sun gets up every new day and rises. And we know that God has orchestrated it that way, that every 24 hours, there's a new start. There's a new day. And the way the seasons, at least here in Ohio, progress from the dying of winter
to the birth of spring over and over and over again. And who orchestrated it that way but our very Creator, who's showing us in the very creation around us that He is a God of all things new. Of all things new. We see this idea of new things all around us and all through the good news of the Word. It's overflowing with how God is a God of all things new. In Jeremiah, he says Jesus is the new covenant. The new covenant through which we become, like it says in 2 Corinthians, a new creation. And Ezekiel, one of my favorite ones, and Wilma pointed this one out on Wednesday night, is God wants to give us a new heart, a new spirit, if we'll only surrender to Him. And the passage we studied on Wednesday night, Romans 12, He continually calls us daily to a daily transformation and the renewing of our minds. And praise be to God that His compassions are new every morning, like Lamentations tells us, so that when we muck it up, and yeah, sometimes we will. I do. When we muck it up, we don't have to muck it up, but when we do, if we do, we can go to Him and His mercies are new every day. We can ask forgiveness. We can pick ourselves up. We can dust ourselves off. We can make apologies. We can ask for forgiveness from both our Lord and those around us that we need to do that. And move on in the power of God's grace into a new day. Amen? Amen. Amen. This is the real gospel. It's all about all things new. Aren't you glad God is all about all things new? Because I don't know about you, but I'd be all washed up without that principle. But if we stubbornly insist on hanging our hat on what happened way back then or last week or even yesterday, even though those things are good often and they're great and God was working then, but you know what? It doesn't matter if it's not current right now today. We will miss out on the bottom line that our relationship with God has got to be about right now. It's got to be about today. It is really completely appropriate to be reflective and aware of what happened in days past. And we should remember both the good and the bad of former days. And we should learn the lessons that come from those memories. Amen? We should. Amen. But we can't live there. We can't live there. We've got to live in the newness of today. And our attitude must reflect that, because today is where God is working right now. Amen. God is all about new things. And it's really important for us to check our attitude towards all things new. Now, maybe you're like me, and most of the time when you come across new things, you're like, yeah, baby, let's go. That's usually me. But maybe you're like me with my computer sometimes and you go, hang on just a minute. Hold up. I think I'm good just the way I was. I can guarantee you that if you open your ears and your eyes to the Lord, He's going to make you uncomfortable. He's going to ask you to do something new that you haven't been doing, or to take something out that you have been doing that He wants you to create a new slate for. If you are already living in a right relationship with God today, you are not exempt. I can guarantee you. God has growth for you. He has growth for me. We talk about holiness in the Church of the Nazarene often, and you know what holiness means. It means continually growing and walking in all the light that's been revealed to you. And the minute that God stops revealing light to you, you stop growing. And we all know that if we're not growing, what are we doing? We're dying. Yes. Maybe you haven't invited Jesus into your life yet. That's the first step to all things new. To say, have I let God make me a new creation? To let Him come in and clean up my mess and make me new. But if you've been walking hand in hand with Him for years, I want to encourage you, you can't live on those old commitments. It's got to be a commitment today. And every time that sun comes up, it's a new commitment. It's a new, yes, Lord, my hand is in yours. I'm listening. I'm watching for you. He's going to ask you this year to do something new, to think a new way, to act a new way, to speak a new way, to put off something old that you probably don't need. Maybe to put off an old attitude, maybe to put off an old habit, to take on a new attitude, to take on a new habit. Maybe all of that. Is your heart and mind ready to respond to that? Okay, God, do whatever you want to do with me. Is my attitude ready to say that, even if it makes me uncomfortable? Even if it feels awkward? Even if it's sloppy? Even if it's not popular? Well, Lord, why don't you talk to them about that? Because I think they really need it. You ever play that game? I've done that one many times. But the Lord's talking to me. Talking to me. I believe that if we want to see God work in this place, in this neighborhood, in this city, in our homes, in our families, in our work, the key is for us to have an attitude that when God says, here's the new work I've got for you, that we say, yeah, baby, let's go. An attitude that says, Lord, whatever new thing you want to work on, I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to ignore you. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to say, but. I'm not going to say, but they really do need to work on that. I mean, I am much better. No, I'm not going to do any of that. Instead, I'm going to have an attitude that says, I know it's God's role and his job to me to be continually working on all things new. And even though it might be humbling or awkward or challenging or even weird, that I am saying yes to God leading me into new things this year. And I know the end result is going to be adventurous and awesome and totally worth it. So my answer is going to be, yeah, let's go. There is no doubt that God wants to do something new in every one of you, and in every one of our teens, and in every one of our children, and in every one of our shut-ins. He wants to. I can visualize myself running full speed, headlong, into what God has. And you know, sometimes new doesn't look like something that is going to make us happy. You know, sometimes it bumps up against our happy in an aggressive sort of way that we find very threatening. You know, some of you, I know, are experiencing new circumstances that you wouldn't have picked. You would say, no, thank you. And I'm not saying that God created those, but sometimes our broken world creates new things for us to interact with. But God has new grace. God has new strength, new wisdom, new places he's going to lead you through. Amen. He does. Can we visualize ourselves running full speed, headlong, towards what God wants? Will you join me for that adventure? Will you join Pastor Joe and I for that adventure? It might be weird, might be awkward, might be intimidating, might be a little frightening. We might bump up against each other sometimes. We might get a little ruffled. We might need to apologize. Amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you, a church who knows how to make peace with one another is a church who's going places. A church who cannot make peace with one another, you're never going to make it outside these doors. We have to be willing to say, yep, I'll do it. Lord's calling me. I'm going to do it. Whatever new thing you've got.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you were in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue. Or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.